You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Full of frustration, full of despair, from years of hurt, disappointment, and relegation. Two British football fans have had enough. Canary bird Elliot Holman and wanderer Henry Hewitt are in search of glory, pride, passion, in search of silverware. And they found Major League Soccer.
Yes, welcome along to Season 4, Episode 5 of the MLS UK show. I'm Elliot Holman.
And I'm Henry Hewitt.
Despite it being a little bit of a break in the MLS season, still loads for us to talk about. And we'll look ahead to the Euros as well. So, this is that horrible lull in the season where we go, what should we talk about?
Yeah, there's nothing really gone on. We've chosen, we do this every 2 weeks, don't we? We've chosen kind of the wrong time to do an episode, but we didn't want to leave it 3 weeks. I'm away next week, so then it'd be 4 weeks. And yeah, so we'll plow on. We've got some bits to talk about.
Odd bits and bobs, such as in the real world, away from soccer, Henry Hewitt, Friday, the big day.
I know, me and Poppy, who does the kit reviews, are tying the knot, so that should be exciting.
So, for those who are listening in the US, I don't know what the rules are because it changes all the time. Henry's literally allowed 30 people, right?
Yeah, and you're one of them. Congratulations.
Thanks. I do feel very privileged. What are the names of the aunties and uncles that I've been chosen ahead of? It's like the draft, isn't it?
Yeah, there's too many. I have about six aunties, two uncles. Obviously, the aunties are married as well. They've all got kids. And to try and get all of that into 30 people, I think I've got more than 30 members in my extended family. So I just thought, rather than insult some and just invite a few others, I'll just not invite any of them. Invite my mates instead.
Well, because they love you so much and they're so proud of you, I'm sure they're watching now. So hi to you. And I'm more important.
Well, we are going to have a big wedding party in July. So you'll see them then. Yeah, looking forward to it. You know what I'm looking forward to the most? It's just socialising. Because me and you, we've not even had a pint in the last year, have we?
It does feel weird. Apart from, I think it was episode 3 where we had a quick pint.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's just strange. I can't imagine, like, it's literally 4 days away and I can't imagine being around that many people. Does that make sense? Like, it's weird.
Yeah, well, you're not staying over because you've got quite a busy weekend where you're going to be spending your Sunday with quite a lot more people than the 30 that are coming to my wedding.
20,000 other people, I believe. I'm going to the first England game in the Euros. This is my 30th birthday present. I literally found out about it a couple of days ago. I had no idea because I just thought the Euros were meant to be last year.
Yeah.
And it was meant to be hosted across the whole of Europe. So there wasn't going to be as many games at Wembley. And I just thought, there's no way that I'll ever be able to get tickets. I've been to loads of England games, but never to a summer tournament. Mm. So I just thought, I'm desperate to go. And I just thought, we'll never get tickets. And then good old Bryony G, she came up trumps with the gift.
Yeah, because we never have tournaments here, do we, in England? They don't like giving England tournaments for some reason.
Famously.
Whereas our American in particular listeners, you know, CONCACAF, they tend to have a tournament in America every few years.
And the World Cup is coming to America.
Yeah, exactly. So it's quite a luxury for us, this tournament that is across Europe, but we're lucky enough in England to have quite a few matches at Wembley. So it should be fun. I'm really jealous.
Yeah, I mean... I haven't been to a football match in so long. The last game I went to was Norwich v Arsenal at Carrow Road, and VAR had a nightmare that day. I didn't go home happy, and then I never went to a game since. So hopefully it'll be a happier game.
Yeah.
And we'll get off to a fly. But we were just reminiscing, like, when we were setting up the cameras and checking the audio and stuff, and we were just saying, summer tournaments growing up, they're just so good. Like, it's the only time we ever get good weather. Yeah. It's those few weeks where we get good weather in the UK, and just memories of, like, barbecues with your mates, having everyone round, loads of beers, drowning your sorrows. Yeah. It doesn't normally go well for England, but it's that renewed hope every time.
Yeah, it's nice when England do okay. When they go out in the group stages, it's such a disappointment. Yeah, yeah. But when they do okay, when they get to the quarterfinals or semi-finals like last time in the World Cup, yeah, everyone in this country is happy. So, yeah, looking forward to it. Hopefully England can do well. The squad's been announced, and we're in the countdown now. The first game, as you said on the last episode, is when I get married. I think Italy are playing, so that'll be fun for everyone on the sly, looking at the phones, going, yeah, lovely day. Oh, so you missed that.
Yeah, I do have to leave in the evening quite early, just so you know. Also, while we're talking about international football, the USA, the US men's national team, won the Nations League.
Yeah.
This is massive. And I mean this, ever since I've taken an interest in MLS, I've obviously followed journalists and fans on Twitter and Instagram. And let's be honest, it's just been a barrage of disappointment after disappointment after disappointment.
Like England.
Much like supporting England. I feel like this is big.
Well, I think beating Mexico in any tournament is big for the States. Mm. And it's practically America versus Mexico in every tournament.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To win, and the nature of it, we did, coming back from behind twice and then getting Pulisic in extra time and then the save penalty. I mean, I didn't watch the game, but catching up on Monday morning, yeah, I watched the highlights and it was a great game. The crowd were in. The crowd were literally in the commentary box at one point. Yeah. It looked a lot of fun. And, well done to America. And but also, shout out to Canada as well. They've had some really good results recently, you know, giving some teams batterings. So that's a good sign for them heading into the World Cup now, which is in 5 years, 6 years, whatever it is.
Is it 2026?
Yeah, it is. So 5 years, yeah.
We've got to go. We have to go. That's my mission.
That'd be good. If they can get a game in Orlando, I'll come with you.
Yeah, I think you'd probably get one at Atlanta, to be honest. If they don't choose the Atlanta Stadium, then even I'll be outraged. It's so good.
Right, every week on the podcast, every episode I should say, we give you a keyword to leave in ratings. So we've had some correspondence, we've had one or two people who I pointed out last time, if you are going to delete your last rating and do a new one, we can see the username, so we're not going to mention you. So if you do that, we're not going to mention you every time. But we did also say that if anyone's got anything to promote, then feel free. And this guy has. He's called Lord Abram. I hope I've said that right. He's given us 5 stars. Great little pod. He's put in the suggest.
Nice.
That was the key word. He says, big fan of the show. I'm an American and a lifelong fan of the San Jose Earthquakes and Chris Wondolowski. I subscribe to listen to people who know football, well, why are you discuss? Why are you subscribing to us then? to discuss and discuss Wando and the Quake, since it's a rarity in America. He goes on to say that please check out the Dead on Cue podcast. It's a comedic podcast that him and his friend have been working on for a few years, and they've got a small cult following like ourselves.
Very small.
Yeah, when you see the skull engulfed in pink flames, you know you've found the right one. So that's the Dead on Cue podcast. So.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for your ratings once again. I feel like we'll have a little meeting later in the pod and decide what it's going to be this time round.
Yes, we will. Also coming up on today's show, we've got another Crisis Right. We've got Henry's Guide to Miami. We will be revealing the shirts. We set each other a challenge last time. You had to find an MLS shirt with a player who used to play for Norwich on the shirt. I had to find one with a player who used to play for Bolton. We have got them with each other today. People have been guessing online, so we'll go through some of the guesses and reveal it later on. But first, as we always do at the start of an MLS UK show,
we start with the game with the changing name. So this is a request. I woke up this morning to an email, which is very good, on the day that we're about to record.
Nice.
And somebody requested that I do this player. And I'm surprised that we've never done it before, if I'm honest. I have looked back, and according to the records, which were compiled by Nathan Green, thank you very much, we really appreciate that.
Yeah, we do.
We haven't done this player, okay? So this takes me back to my early MLS days. This is when I first got into MLS, and I was like, oh, this guy's good. This guy's really good. So he started his career at Anderlecht, and he went to, he's also played for Le Mans in France.
Yeah.
He's played for Osasuna.
In Spain.
Correct. And then comes his tie with the UK. Why is it always Swansea?
Swansea City, okay.
Swansea, and then he's played for two MLS clubs after that.
Is he there now?
No, he's currently at Memphis 901.
I'm going to have to think about this one. I've done quite well, I think, this series.
You have done well.
But this one might get me, this one. I'll have a think. If you think you know, if you're watching on YouTube, comment below. It leaves a timestamp so we know where you are when you find it out. And if you are listening through your podcast provider, tweet us at MLS UK Show. And as many have, when if you tweet us with the right answer, we will throw you a like, or we'll acknowledge it somehow without ruining it for the rest of everyone else. So yeah, get in touch.
I'll give you one last little clue. He's played 61 times for one MLS club, 28 times for the other, and I'll give you the one he's played the least for. It's FC Cincinnati.
Ooh.
This is bad. I forgot that he played for Cincinnati. But 28 appearances, so more than he made at Swansea.
Okay, I'll have a think.
The MLS UK Show.
The MLS UK Show is brought to you by Soccer90.com. Now, throughout the month of June, all of the new jerseys from across Europe are going to be arriving. I love that Liverpool shirt, the new one.
Yeah.
Interesting colour trim, better than the green they had on the last one. Chelsea, Juventus, it's all arriving. Soccer90.com. And remember, there's a whole range of MLS gear on there as well.
Yeah, there's not Bolton or Norwich on there yet. We have pushed for it, but their response is, well, we'd get you buying one and me buying one and no one else buying one. So if you want to get a shirt that actually you'd be interested in, actually would get people turning their heads and going, oh, PSG, good team, then yeah, soccer90.com. And remember, if you type in the code MLSUK, you get 25% off at the checkout.
Elliot Holman, Henry Hewitt, MLS UK Show.
So because there was no MLS last weekend because of internationals, we kind of left for stuff to talk about. But we thought then we'd do a mini sort of season review so far, because there's 8 or 7 games played. So it's roughly about a quarter of the season. 32, yeah, about a quarter of the season.
Wow, really? That seems crazy.
I know. So, yeah, we thought we'd have a look and see what teams are doing. Before we do, though, I wanted to mention, looking way ahead into the future, Charlotte have signed former Leicester defender
Christian Fuchs,
which hopefully the YouTube algorithms don't pick that up and make our video explicit.
I couldn't fucking believe it.
But interesting signing, because normally, you know, teams coming into the league, they'll try and aim big, a marquee name, say, at the top of the pitch. Yeah. Fuchs, a very good defender, well-known, a Premier League winner. So interesting for them to look at that, but a sign maybe of where they're looking.
Yeah, we mentioned it. I don't know which episode. We've definitely mentioned him this season, saying that, you know, he's a free agent. He's definitely going to want to be, you know, going over to the States. I believe he follows us on Twitter, so you're probably watching this.
Yeah,
Christian. But I think this is huge. Mm. You've got a player there. All right, not a vastly experienced MLS player. We've said before we like to see coaches who have got MLS experience that know how the rosters work, know how intense these fixtures are going to be. So my only concern with him is maybe the age. But as we know, MLS is a retirement league and it's full of old players and they all do fine. I think that's great. Like, no player is going to be looking at Charlotte FC as a potential club, see Christian Fuchs signing and go, no, I'm not interested. Mm. I think it's a really, really bold statement. It's a very strong start. And it's nice to see as well that no one's gone for like a star striker or, you know, a left winger. Christian Fuchs, he's going to play left back. He's not going to be bombing forward. No. He's going to play left back. And it's kind of the first time I've ever seen someone go, right, we're going all out here on a left back.
Yeah. Well, you've got to build your team around defenders, really. Didn't happen enough in MLS. Mm. I mean, we love that. There's lots of goals, so we're happy with that. But yeah, Charlotte could be innovators, if you will. Well, let's have a look at the West then and see how that started. Seattle find themselves top of the tree. 0-0 against Austin the last game. We didn't see that. We fancied Seattle to get a big win there. So there's two draws in the last two games for Seattle. Is that anything to worry about?
Nah, it's not. The way that they came out of the blocks, there was always going to be that moment where they dropped a couple of points here and there. As we know, it can be very intense, the schedule in MLS with the travelling as well. No one in Seattle is going to be panicking at that because they've seen the way that the team has played. The performances have been excellent. I really, really struggle to see past Seattle. You know, I struggle to see anyone else really challenging at the minute. They just look brilliant.
Teams that I would argue against that, SKC, mm. LA Galaxy, find themselves second and third. SKC, probably where we expected them. They had a strong season last year. We expected them to carry that on after the blip of 2 years ago. LA Galaxy, we've been impressed, and we were their start. Chicharito, top of the goal-scoring charts. It's all good for LA Galaxy at the moment, and they even showed in the last game against San Jose that they've got that grittiness to get that 1-0 win. Are you expecting them to carry it on? The home form's 100%.
Yeah, it's the home form for me. Winning 100% at home. I think it's four games they've played at home. 1-4, and that's what you need. You just don't worry. It sounds so stupid from, you know, when you say it in the UK, because you know it's so different. But if your home form is great in MLS, you make the playoffs. It's simple as that. And as we know, you can finish seventh and you can go and win MLS Cup. That's the way it works. Yes, people want to see the Supporters' Shield, but it's all about just making the playoffs. That's that first step, that first goal that every team has. And if they keep winning all their home games, Chicharito's on fire. They're going to do great. They're just going to be absolutely fine. And they'll be a force in the playoffs because Vanny knows what he's doing.
Yeah, a strong head coach appointment, and he's showing that, his experience. You look at, say, Toronto as an example.
Yeah.
They've got someone who's in Chris Armas who has got MLS experience. However, it hasn't worked out for them. I mean, we'll talk about Toronto when we cover the East in just a moment. But if you look at the next three teams in the West, you've got Colorado, Houston, San Jose. These are the sides that you could see them finishing here in these positions, but you could also see them finishing at the bottom. The teams that perhaps were looking at playoffs, but if we look at Houston, for example, we said they wouldn't do very well. They had a new manager come in. Are you surprised overall? 8 games, 11 points?
Yeah, you say, you know, you wouldn't be surprised if they finished up there, but you also wouldn't be surprised if they were, you know, finished down the bottom. And the reason for that is just, we've been trained in seeing them struggle year in, year out. They've not been that team that are always up there, you know, in the top six places. when you look down and you see someone like LAFC, it looks wrong. It just looks bizarre. And that's credit to LAFC. And it's credit to Houston for really, really making that change this season and putting themselves in the mix. I hope they do. I hope they, you know, I hope they can carry on, because it's really nice to see it changing. We always see MLS sort of upside down a lot. But there's some teams, your Cincinnati's, your Houston's, Vancouver recently as well, that just don't really seem to, things don't ever seem to swing in their favour, even when everything does swap around in the league. So really good to see Houston up there, and I hope they can continue. But for LAFC to make a charge, one of them has got to drop out.
Yeah, that's true. For me, Colorado, I thought did well last season. They showed what they can do. They've continued that into this season. I think Colorado, kind of dark horses for, I think they'll finish about fourth, me personally. So then you're looking at Houston and San Jose. It's interesting actually to look below Houston and San Jose, each one of those teams that make up the remaining, I'm going to say seven, because I can't do quick maths. None of them have played eight games. They've all played 7 and 6. Yeah. It shows how tight this league is, especially when you look at, you look at the likes of LAFC, who if they win, they could go up to fifth past Houston. You know, it's still, we're doing this season review, but it's important to remember it is still very tight because of the games that they've played.
Yeah, we've said that Dallas have had a terrible start. They are bottom of the West. One win puts them right up there, I believe, with San Jose. So it really is tight. And don't get me wrong, they have had a terrible start. You know, only one win at home. And that's the only win from those games, those seven games they've played. But that 1 point is so close. That 1 point's going to get them right above that playoff line again. So it's kind of too early for us to be doing this. But hey, there's no game. So what do you want us to do?
RSL, I must admit, at the start of the season, if you went back to episode one of series four, I didn't think they would do that well, RSL. But they are currently fifth on points per game. They've only played six games. They're proving me wrong at the moment.
What we've learned so far in this review is that we have no idea what we're talking about. We said Houston would be rubbish. We said RSL would be rubbish. And Minnesota would be great. And they're 12th. So
Well, let's talk about Minnesota then. They've showed signs in recent weeks that they are on the way back. A team with the head coach of Adrian Heath isn't going to stay at the bottom for long. I must admit, this next section of games that are coming after the internationals, I think that's where Minnesota will continue the charge.
Yeah, I think if they pick up a couple of wins, they move up there. If they manage to move above the playoff line and then stay there, you forget all about the start of the season. You don't worry about it. But it is concerning because we are so used to seeing them sort of progress year on year. So I felt like this year could have been the year that they really actually challenged SKC and they challenged Seattle. It's clear already that that's not going to be the case, but there's absolutely no reason why they can't go deep in the playoffs. So the dream's still alive for them very much.
Let's talk about the remaining teams in the West then before we move to the East. Vancouver and Austin have identical records, apart from the fact that Austin have conceded one less and Vancouver has scored one more. Austin yet to play at home. That game is coming.
Got to win your home games. They've not won a home game all season.
Yeah, but they are unbeaten. So, but Austin, the stadium looks great. They had the fans in the other week. And is this next section for them now, where they're starting to play home games, this could be a big say in what Austin do. They could push themselves right into the playoff mix.
This is the thing. If you go back to the second episode we did with Mark talking about Austin, I said, something tells me that they can make the playoffs. And at that point, I was basing that on just, I liked the roster. That was all that I had to go on at that point. We know they've surprised everyone. They've been a lot better than people expected, and they haven't played a home game yet. If they make that stadium a fortress and they pick up points, they're going to be right up there. And that's going to be a massive, massive first season. I'm really, really intrigued to see what they do in the home games. If they can pick up a few wins, they're right up there.
Yeah, it was a big point at Seattle. Show resilience and show that they have got that bit of bite about them. Just above them then Vancouver. We didn't expect much for Vancouver this year, so they're showing more than what we expected. Can you see this carrying on? They've got the whole thing with not playing at home. They're playing, it's a RSL's ground, isn't it?
Yeah, and that works against them. When you see Austin are below them, when you see Vancouver are below them, Dallas as well, you feel like Dallas have to start to come good soon. I do still have a hang-up about Vancouver. I don't really know why. I don't necessarily think that they haven't improved, but I think not being able to play at home at BC Place, and I think there's just stronger teams around them. So I do still worry at this stage.
Portland, then in seventh, they needed the break desperately. They've got quite a few players out. I think it was 10 in the last game they got out. That showed against Philadelphia. They lost 3-0, and it was a poor performance from Portland. But again, I mean, what do you expect from them when you got 10 players out? Getting some of those players back, I think they've had a decent start to the season, and you'd always fancy Portland to be bare minimum fourth or fifth.
This is the thing, like you say, players missing, and it's not an excuse, but it does explain the situation. They're still above the playoff line just on points per game and goals. So I believe they'll definitely be above the likes of Houston. I don't want to just write Houston off again, but you have to feel like Portland's roster is way, way, way stronger than their points per game is currently suggesting. So I feel like they'll be up there.
And finally, LAFC, how disappointed would they be? New York City went there last game, 1-2-1. They were 1-0 up as well, LAFC. They've got Vea back and Rossi. That kind of curtailed them a little bit. It just showed that they're not quite there, because we were expecting with them two back, they'll just go on a run and get to the top of the league. But I mean, that New York City result shows there are still some fragility about the club.
Yeah, I think getting them back was great. It was important, but they maybe seemed like the team were a little bit out of practice with having them in the side. And I think if they'd have played like that in the first couple of games, you'd be like, oh, they'll come good. So I think judging them on that one game is maybe difficult. You just have to look at the roster and just go, yeah, I think they'll be fine. And I'm happy at the end of the season, if they don't make the playoffs, I'm happy to be wrong, because they definitely should be making the playoffs.
They should. Right, moving into the East then, New England Revolution remain top of the conference, 17 points. They won at FC Cincinnati in the last game. I mean, we'll talk about FC Cincinnati in a moment, but New England Revolution, I said they do well, and they continue in. They're getting wins when they need them, unbeaten at home. So I'm happy. I'm fancying my, if you didn't know, I had a little bet on them to at least get to MLS Cup. It was good odds, so I thought, well, why not?
What did you know?
I just fancy, I mean, any team with head coach Bruce Arena, they're going to be there or thereabouts, in my opinion.
Okay. They've played a couple more games than the majority.
But that means nothing, does it?
Sorry, not a couple more. They play a game more than most teams in the league. But rightly up there, you know, performances have been there, results have been there. Like you say, Bruce Arena, he doesn't continue to lose games. He turns things around when it starts to go wrong. Good roster. We know we like the Philly roster. We know we like everything that Philly offer. So that's going to go to the wire, I think. I think those two are definitely going to be challenging. I haven't seen Orlando play well yet. The fact that they're there bemuses me, because they haven't played well yet. They haven't put out a full team yet. So I'm kind of excited to see where that goes and whether they can challenge the likes of Philly, who are definitely a more established side under Curtin, who's been there years. I'm intrigued. And New York are right behind them as well.
Yeah. Well, Nani will be back for Orlando in the next game. New York City, we mentioned the LAFC result. New York City are just showing that I feel that New York City are just going around the business very quietly.
Yeah, I agree.
There was a few people at the start that were going, is this going to be the season that they kind of just fall away and they need a bit of a rebuild? But no, they're fourth. They've started very well. And yeah, they go into LAFC getting results, which is a good sign for them.
Yeah, I think at the start of the season, if you'd have said to New York City, you know, a side that kind of struggled under the new coach, if you'd have said, right, well, at the break, you're going to be level with Columbus, you're going to be ahead of Atlanta, you're going to be ahead of the Red Bulls, they'd have taken that 100%, yeah. And they've looked good.
My unsung heroes of this season so far have been Montreal. I think when you look at Vancouver, not quite Vancouver, because what did we expect from Vancouver? But especially Toronto, it's going to be very difficult playing in America, not playing at home.
Yeah.
Montreal, fifth, 11 points. And, they've took 4 points from their three games at home at the moment. They're showing... You know, the new manager's come in, the new head coach, and they're showing that they can really put a fight on.
You have to be so careful what you say, because if you encourage these ownership groups, they'll be putting the Florida geographic outline on the badge. They'll be moving the team to Florida. Don't encourage them, all right?
Speaking of owners that don't need to be encouraged, below them in the league... Columbus Crew.
The Crew.
Columbus have had a mixed season for them. Reigning champions, sixth in the conference. I mean, any team that's sixth in the conference, it's not the end of the world. It's actually been a good start if you think about it. But all the stuff that's going on the pitch, you said in one of our episodes that you don't think it affected the players that much. I was saying, well, I think it won't help, especially when they go on social media. All that, it seems to be over now. They've won the last few games and they are slowly but surely pushing to the top of the table.
Yeah, points per game, they'd actually be above your boys, Montreal, level with...
How many teams do I have this
level
year?
Level with New York City. So not a disaster. And like I said regarding Minnesota, if they now start to push on in this next part of the season, this next quarter of the season, you're not going to worry about the start. You're not going to look back and go, all that stuff with a badge, but it's all, you know... They're an established team with a great roster and a great coach. You have to feel like they're going to progress.
Yeah, joining them and Montreal and New York City on four teams on 11 points this year so far. Nashville, just above the line.
Great little club.
Not a great little club. A great, great, massive club, Nashville. Done well so far. They've obviously, through having to... sort of work out matches and teams playing at home and stuff. They have played quite a lot of matches at home compared to away so far. So maybe they'll look at seventh and go, having played so many at home, is that good enough? But I think overall, Nashville, they're a side that can push for that last few playoff spots.
Are Nashville going to win the Supporters Shield? Probably not. They haven't got the roster. They've got a strong defensive unit, which means that they can make the playoffs and then they can use... tactics to push their way to the final. That's going to be their goal 100%, and they're there at the minute, and like I say, above the likes of Toronto, above the likes of Atlanta and Red Bulls, even DC United, they'll be really happy with that.
Yeah, they will. Speaking of Atlanta, the last game they were 2-0 down with 10 minutes to go, managed to get a draw, which was very annoying. Atlanta are 8th, 10 points from 7 games. I kind of said last time I don't think they've clicked yet, and I think that last game was an example of that. They showed some great stuff. They got the goals, which, you know, I was saying on my last episode, but they are they're not very creative going forward, but they were 2-0 up against Nashville, but then let it slip. So it just seems at the moment with Atlanta, it's either the forward line are doing really well or the defence. There's no middle ground. So I think there's enough there for Atlanta to tell me that they'll make the playoffs. I'm confident of that. I think they'll be stronger as Heinze gets more accustomed to the role. But it was just disappointing, that Nashville game.
There's very few podcasts that have seen as much of Atlanta as you have and as much of Orlando as I have. And both sides, for me, I can't make out what's going on.
No,
I know Orlando are up there, but I haven't sat there and gone, "Cool, we've played well." You know, I haven't seen a lineup, a starting 11, and gone, "Cool, that's a strong." So I think Orlando and Atlanta currently very similar in we don't really know what the plan is, but it's kind of working out a little bit better for Orlando. But Atlanta always come good. And oh, it's annoying.
Apart from last year. Next is our brand new MLS UK Show Championship champions, New York Red Bull. Oh, Elliot seems to have disappeared there. They beat Orlando in the last game 2-1, so they took the belt, Orlando retaining it. A grand total of, let me just put this into my computer, 0 times. But a good win for Red Bulls, and they played well. You know, Clark scored again, and... what did you think watching that game as a obviously supporting the other team? Were you impressed with Red Bulls?
I could not believe that Oscar Pereira showed so much disrespect to the MLS UK Show Championship.
It's shocking, wasn't it?
I sat in the garden and I watched it, and I had a few beers, a little bit of a barbecue going on, and I was like, oh, this is beautiful, and I'm going to watch Orlando, you know, fight for that MLS UK Show Championship. Then I saw the starting 11. What's he doing? There was a guy that had graduated 2 days previous that he's just dragged in. Honestly, it was poor.
Maybe he feels the pressure of it. Orlando can't handle the pressure.
For me, it was like, no, don't want the title.
Yeah, well.
So we'll see what happens next. But I wasn't impressed with that lineup. That's not how you go about defending it.
No, good win for Red Bulls, though. And they're showing signs. They've got some good young players. They're showing signs that they can... they'll push the playoffs this year. DC United, last episode, we kind of said we don't know where we are with them. They've not started well. They're finding the place. They go to Miami and win 3-0.
Is that an achievement?
I thought it was. The build-up play.
I'm joking.
The build-up to the play, the goals, was great.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Really good. I didn't watch this game. I watched the highlights. And watching the highlights, I thought... Like, do you know that Simpsons meme where it's like, stop, stop, he's already dead. I was like, after 2-0, I was like, God, where's this DC been?
Yeah.
And the third goal, but DC, if the break came for a right time for Portland, right after that game, the break came at the wrong time for DC.
Yeah, yeah. But it's nice though, because you could see what they were trying to do, you know, and you can see the plan with DC a little bit better in that game, and you can see the potential as well. So 100%, if they play like that, they're going to be way, way high. They're going to be in the playoffs. And that means that some of those teams are going to drop out. You know, who are you pulling out of there? Like, we just said Nashville doing really well, but DC are coming for them. Atlanta are not going to be happy being outside the playoffs. So this is going to be a really, really tough battle. And with New England being up there, this is what's made it interesting. This is what we love about MLS, is New England are at the top. They look like they're going to run away with that. They look really, really strong. And that means, because they're not normally in that position, that means that one of the usual lot is going to drop out and there's going to be an upset somewhere.
Yeah, well, we'll wait and see who that is. I think that's the thing with the East, is that when you look at the West and you look at the names like Seattle, SKC, both LA sides.
They're always up there.
Yeah, when you look at the East now, any one of those sides, barring probably Cincinnati and Chicago and at the moment Toronto, but any one of those sides just get a few wins could be top of the conference. And you won't bat an eyelid, would you?
No.
Normal. Right, then heading to the bottom then of the... of the East, Miami. I'm doing a guide to Miami in a bit, so you'll hear some facts about Miami. But football-wise, what did we expect from Miami? I don't think there's, apart from that DC result, I don't think they've been horrific, but you'll look at them being 11th and that ownership group aren't going to be happy with that.
No, they're not. At the end of the day, you can talk about performances all you like. You know, they're not getting results. It's not happening. It's not working. So, like I've said, Orlando have been awful. But somehow they're up there. They're grinding out results. Annoying for, you know, the other teams. Whatever. It's getting results. And Miami's the opposite, because it's all supposed to be about, you know, how aesthetically pleasing everything is. I'm a little bit, I'm underwhelmed, I think is the word, because I think even from a league point of view, we kind of hoped that they were going to come in, have the Atlanta United effect, and it's not happened yet. I feel like there's maybe more pressure on Miami that they've almost created themselves than there was on Atlanta. I think it's a very, I tweeted during the Miami game the other week, it's just bizarre. You've got like Ryan Shawcross and then like passing the ball to Champions League winners. It's all so confusing. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, for me, the biggest thing about that last game against DC is that you, all this pressure that Miami are putting on themselves, you need players that are going to then perform. Don't get me wrong, I think Gonzalo Higuain can, but I don't think enough of them will. And that result, you know, first time with a full stadium and you get beat 3-0. It's just not good enough.
Yeah, I think what Miami need is more DPs.
Yeah, well, they're that got announced as well, didn't it? The punishment for having too many DPs is they've been fined and told not to have as many DPs. Let's look at the bottom three then. These are the three sides that have the worst points total in MLS at the moment. Toronto FC are in 12th. 5 points. You discussed Chris Armas on the last episode. You said it's not a good fit. And at the moment, I don't think there's anyone that can argue with you.
No, I don't really. This is the bad thing about me saying that is I don't really have a reason why. There's something about Chris Armas that I don't know what it is. There's something about him that I don't connect with. And I believe that a team as established as Toronto should be going after real quality. When Atlanta sacked their manager, their coach, we didn't think, oh, they'll just bring in some like average MLS coach. You know, we expected big things. And I think that's what Toronto almost have to have a hold themselves accountable, hold themselves to a higher account and say, no, we have won MLS Cup. We deserve the best. We're going to challenge for this. I don't believe that appointment was good enough.
No, it wasn't. Maybe, I don't know if it was just a stopgap because they know that it's their season has been interrupted, having to play in Orlando and stuff like that. So you don't know either that or Chris Armas has got a very good agent. So it's one of them.
Yeah, maybe.
Chicago and Cincinnati at the bottom. We just keep grouping these sides together because they're just doing the same every week. You know, they've both got 4 points. They both won the week before and then went and lost. And for Cincinnati, the second game at home, 1-0 against New England Revolution. For me, they just didn't show enough in front of a home crowd in this new stadium. Just didn't show enough that they wanted, for me, that they wanted to go and win the game.
I don't know what to say about Cincinnati anymore because we've already had about 5 Cincinnati eras. It's longer than they've been in MLS, and none of them have worked out. You kind of felt the last gasp, sort of the last chance was this new stadium, create a bit of an atmosphere, make it a fortress, pick up some points at home, and that's not happening really. And you just, I don't know, time's running out.
Yeah, Yap Stam has to be under pressure because getting a new stadium, getting one or two of the players that they've brought in, and they've signed well.
Spent big money.
So to be bottom of the conference isn't good enough. I mean, Chicago less so. I don't think they've not exactly, I know they've gone back to Soldier Field, so they'll want a bit of a boost, you know, to encourage fans to come. I don't think there's as much pressure on them because of the signings they've made, but there is that pressure on them for being one of the OG MLS teams. You know, they've been in it for a long time. And again, 13th, or joint bottom, we'll call them, is not good enough. Right, so that's where we've been looking at MLS so far. Tell us your views. Who have we been harsh to some teams, or have we not been harsh enough? Should we have been more positive to some teams? At MLS UK Show, tweet us, Instagram us, or you can comment on the YouTube video. So, Elliot, I think it's that time of the show where we play a little game we like to call The Jason Christ is Right. Have you got a category this week?
Yes. Are you ready?
Go on.
Okay. Henry Hewitt, come on down. Welcome to the Jason Christ is Right. I'll be your host. Sorry about that. It's not a difficult game. You've got to guess higher or lower.
It's been difficult for me this season.
It's not going well for you this season. You're normally really good. I don't know what's going on. So I've taken football out of it.
Yeah.
Taken soccer out of it. We're going geography this week. I saw the map of the MLS teams and where they're located overlaid onto Europe, and it blew my mind some of the distances that are travelled, especially New York City to Vancouver. That's absolutely absurd. So I have here the distance travelled by every team in 2019, the last normal season that we had in MLS, okay? So I'm going to start with New York City FC, 31,190. Higher or lower, miles travelled, Montreal.
Oh, I think, well, I listen, this is going to be a guess, whatever I answer to all of them. I think Montreal may be a bit more, I know it's above New York City, but a bit more inward, so I'm going to say lower.
Is higher.
Oh.
higher or lower than Montreal's 36,000. Orlando!
Lower.
It's higher, oh. So you're wrong again. Sorry about that. Higher or lower than Orlando's 43,000. think about this, DC United.
Right, DC United. Okay, so that's top right, I think, or right-ish.
So how many teams are nearby?
Yeah, I think there's quite a few, so I'm going to go lower.
It is lower. I'm having to help him. It's so bad. 27,500. Okay, higher or lower than DC United? Let's go Philadelphia.
Oh, okay, so it's kind of same area. So we've got... It's not. I don't think it's going to be much either side. So I'm going to say slightly higher.
Philadelphia is slightly higher. Yes. 31,000. Higher or lower? San Jose Earthquakes.
Oh, other side. So I'm going to go... I think they've got more up... They can go up more. They've got one or two nearish games. But I'm going to say higher.
It is higher. It's massively high. Nearly 50,000.
Wow.
And we'll finish with Portland Timbers, also over on that West Coast.
Yeah, but up at the top. So they've got, okay, Vancouver's not that far, and then Seattle's not that far, and then you've got... But I think there's quite a few teams at the bottom, and you've got Dallas. So I'm saying this. I don't have a clue. I'm trying to sound like I'm working it out. So I'm just going to go higher.
It's lower. We ended on a terrible note there. Sorry, your terrible run continues.
Oh. Geography, especially US or North American geography, really is not my strong point. Like, if you did it in England...
I do think that's hard, though. We know where they all are. It just kind of doesn't help you out.
True. If you did it in England, I think I'd do quite well. Mm. But
I think Norwich would probably be top most travel.
But that's just because I've been to the places. As we know, I've only ever been to Orlando and a stop off in Atlanta on a trip to the Bahamas. Right, okay, my awful run at the Crisis Right continues. If you've got a suggestion for Elliot of a game or a sort of a category that we can play in the Crisis Right, get in touch at MLS UK Show. Right, I'm really excited for this. We are now going to reveal, we said it on the last episode, we challenged ourselves, didn't we? So you had to get a shirt of an MLS shirt of a player that has played for Norwich. I had to get an MLS shirt for someone who has played for Bolton, but their MLS shirt. Now, we had quite a few people trying to guess who we've got.
Mm-hmm.
One or two guessed yours. No one guessed mine.
They wouldn't. I didn't know he even played in MLS.
Let's see what we've had. We had Jamie on Twitter DM'd us. He said he thought that Elliot had Robert Earnshaw, Daryl Russell, or Huckabee. We had quite a few for Huckabee.
Yeah.
Because he's one of your favourite Norwich players ever.
Love Darren Huckabee.
But it's not Darren Huckabee. Let's see. Also, we had on YouTube, Ritik says Darren Huckabee. Oh, actually, Ritik did get mine right. Sorry.
Did he?
He was one person that got mine right. And let's see. I then put this out on Twitter the other night, and we had a few people who guessed. We had Joshua said Darren Huckabee and Stuart Holden. It's not Stuart Holden, although I would love a Houston Dynamo Stuart Holden shirt. He's one of my favourite ever Bolton players. Jamie says Kai Kamara and Nigel Riococca.
Nigel Riococca. Yeah. I actually didn't know he played for Bolton.
He did in one season. We got relegated. So, yeah. Right. I think you can reveal yours first, because yours is quite special, actually.
Yeah, when we initially talked about this, I thought, oh, there's not many Norwich players that have played in MLS. But then the more you think about it, there actually is. And I think everyone's gone the Darren Huckabee route for good reason. Played against David Beckham in a Cali Classico. However, it's a Vancouver Whitecaps jersey.
Does that help anyone?
It's also from when they did the Kick Childhood Cancer, so it's got the little ribbon on it as well.
Nice.
And the player is Kai Kamara.
There we go, Kai Kamara. And if you can see it, hopefully you can see on the video, it is signed as well.
It's game worn. I mean, no disrespect with this, by the way.
Yeah.
Because we would all be exactly the same, especially over in the States and playing at that level of soccer. I'm just going to pass this to you.
Right.
Just have a little whiff of that.
Yes, it's definitely game one.
Kai Kamara, thank you so much, because I now have a signed jersey. It really is authentically game one. There is mud on it as well. But yeah, Kai Kamara, you worked hard in this game, I can tell.
Yeah, so...
And smell.
Well done. Well done if you got that right. So now mine is a shirt that... I saw a Stuart Holden Houston shirt and I was tempted. But then I saw this one and the player that it was and I thought, I have got to get that. It's not signed. I'll be honest with you, it could be game one. I'm not entirely sure, but it is now 15.
Do the sniff test.
It just smells like my house, so it's it could be. it's 15-year-old, so I don't think it is. However, and as well, another appeal to this is that it's a team. I mean, they do exist, but technically don't exist anymore.
They don't exist anymore.
So this is the shirt I got.
It wow, from the Nike days.
A Metro Stars jersey. And I don't know whether you'll be able to see on the camera here, but there, the badge there... Don't know if you can see, but it says MLS season 10 on it. So that's how old it is. And the old MLS badge there. And on the back, some people will be going, oh, I know this now. It is former Bolton Wanderers player and World Cup winner, Yuri Djorkaeff. He had 2 seasons at the Metro Stars.
I never knew that.
And I saw this and I thought I had to get that. And also, I've just seen... It's also got the old Total 90.
Oh, it's so good.
In the middle.
Those are the days. Yeah. They really were the days.
So, I was very happy with that. Not signed. If Yuri Djorkaeff ever goes back to watch a match at Bolton, I might take it and get it signed. But with the red and black, he'd have to do it in Tipex, I guess. I don't think Yeah, so I think we've done very well there. Actually.
Very good. Yeah, very good. If you've got any suggestions of players that you think we should get up on the wall in the studio, then let us know. And I'm going to send a picture of my Kai Kamara shirt to the man himself, the old heart-shaped hands. And and see if I can beg for a retweet. My hero. I love him so much.
MLS UK Show with Elliot Holman and Henry Hewitt.
So now it's time on the MLS UK Show for me to have a look at a particular city or state that has an MLS team. We've done so many so far that we've now put it into another season because we did half last season and now the other half this season. You chose this one and you've chose Miami.
Mm.
Any particular reason?
I just wanted to get back to Florida, you know.
All right, fair enough. So, Elliot, here we go. It's time for...
Sorry, just to clarify, have you done Miami or Fort Lauderdale, where they're actually based?
I knew this was coming. I've done Miami. Because there's more things to say about
Miami. May as well have done Scotland.
It is now time for Henry's Guide to Miami.
Famous, of course... for its country music.
Hey, Elliot.
Hey, Henners.
Did you know the only US city that is ever founded by a woman is Miami?
Really?
Julia Tuttle encouraged a developer to extend the Florida East Coast Railroad to Miami, which then led to the development of the city in 1896. And it was then nicknamed the Magic City, because it was built so quickly. In fact, only 1,600 people lived in Miami in the 1900s. Well, early 1900s. Now there's over 6 million people live there.
They're only allowed 4 million, but they just kind of did a little deal on the side and got 6 million in.
They get 14 million tourists a year. 8 million tourists, but they bump the numbers up. And this a good fact, this has inspired the world, has helped keep the world safe. Suntan lotion was invented in Miami, or sunscreen, as our North American cousins call it.
The numbers work differently as well on the bottles in Miami. So they tell you it's a 25, but it's actually a 4.
Okay, that's the last time we're going to make that joke. It inspired Grand Theft Auto Vice City, which in my humble opinion is the best computer game ever made. And the first ever Burger King was opened in Miami in 1954. Have a guess at how much a Whopper costs in 1954.
Same price as Blaze Matuidi?
No, a bit more than him. 37 cents.
Wow.
It has only snowed once in Miami since records began.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, that was in 1977, January the 19th. The chance of a white Christmas in Miami is less than 1%. One of the meals that you might have in Miami, if you ever visit, is the Cuban sandwich, but there's a big debate on who invented it. Not Cuba, but Tampa Bay. So Tampa Bay think they invented it. Miami claim they did. Now, historians actually say that Tampa Bay invented the Cuban sandwich. However, Miami residents claim that by Tampa Bay adding mayo and salami to the pork, Swiss cheese, pickles and mustard, it's made it less authentic.
Can I just say that sounds like my worst nightmare? It sounds awful.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of mustard. I like pork, I like cheese. I actually like mayo and salami, so I'm going to go with a Tampa Bay one. Ringo Starr once launched an investigation to find some people who were in the background of a photo that he took in the 60s that he said was in Miami. Later on, they discovered that he wasn't in Miami. He was in New York, so the investigation then
right.
moved to New York. He said a lot of things happened in the 60s that he don't remember, so we'll leave that there.
I'm sure.
And our last fact about Miami is that houses in Miami don't have basements, and there will never be a subway system there because it was built on sandy lands, so it's unstable. And that, my friends, is Henry's guide to Miami.
Nice. Where to next?
Let's have the listeners decide. Get in touch with us at MLS UK Show. I have a list here. So, Elliot, if you'd like to fill while I find the list, I should have had this prepared.
Well, luckily, I've got this absolute banger.
Hey, Elliot. Whenever I hear that, that's what I want to say. Right, I've got it here. So the places that we've not done yet on Henry's Guide to North America are, from the west, Seattle, LA, Dallas, Houston, and from the east, New England, Nashville, but that'll be last, Montreal, Toronto, and Chicago.
I would vote Seattle, but we'll leave it to...
Okay, well, get in touch. Do you agree with Elliot? Let me know. Before we finish, there's not really... Well, I guess we can do predictions for this weekend, but there's only one match. And I'll be honest, Elliot, we probably need to do it for you to try and claw this back, because yet again last time you got beat, it ended 30 points to 20 to me. None of us got any results spot on, but I got most outcomes right.
Okay, well, I'll go deep here.
Yeah.
SKC versus Austin.
Yeah.
This weekend, I'm going to say 2-1 SKC, Buzio volley.
I'm going to go with 3-1 SKC, Pulido to score a header.
I'd have gone Tim Melia, but it's up to you.
So we've got an extra 5 points to play for just because there's only one match. But if we draw, then it remains 3-0. Before we go, let's talk about the Euros then. This is kicking off on Friday. Mm. England, yet again, have a good chance, I guess. They're playing at home for most of the games. So
I don't know if they do.
Do you not?
And I'll tell you what, I'm always really confident going in, you know, behind the boys, going to the game at the weekend, looking forward to it. But if you actually look at the bracket, as we would say in MLS, the winner of our group has a really, really tough ride, because there's kind of like this super group of brilliant team, you know, Spain, Germany, I think Portugal in there as well. And if we top our group, we get to play. They think they're doing us a favour. Oh, you get to play the team that finished second. But who wants to play the team that finished second out of those three? You know, so we actually kind of want to finish second in our group to avoid that. But you don't want to then aim for second, because then you might fall short. And so I don't know. It's going to be tough.
Yeah. And of course, we don't want to lose against Scotland. A bit of UK rivalry there. I don't know. I think we've got a good chance. I think we've got a good chance because the squad is... When you think back to the good old days, the golden generation of 2006, when the squad had full of like world-class player names. Yeah. We're talking Beckham, Owen, Gerrard, Lampard. 16-year-old Theo. Rooney, who was 17, but seems to be around for years. Whereas now, it's... Yeah, you've got Harry Kane, and then you've got like, yeah, Sterling and Rashford. But the players, they're not quite world-class yet. So maybe it's more of a squad this year. So I'm confident. I think we'll get through the group. But then it is, you know, it's the remaining knockout fixture. So maybe we win our first two, and then like in the World Cup, if you remember, it was us and Belgium to finish first. Yeah, yeah. And it was, you know, finishing second was better off. So maybe we could do that again. Any other teams to look out for you?
I'm quietly confident for the home nations. I feel like it's probably the best three, like for England, Scotland and Wales. I feel like all quite strong squads, to be fair. It's been a while since they've all three been very strong. Scotland missing Kenny McLean, the Norwich midfielder, but you'll probably say never mind. But yeah, I just feel like there's so many good teams. You think England have got a great squad, and then you look at, you've got Portugal, still got Ronaldo. Spain have got an insane team. Belgium, of course, some golden generation going on. Like, yeah, so confident, but probably not as much as I was going into the World Cup.
France, I think, will probably win. Portugal are funny because they're the reigning champions. And if you look at the team 5 years ago now, they surprised everyone by winning that. And yet now the team that's got Silva in, Bruno Fernandes, you know, they've got some good players in there as well as Ronaldo. So, yeah, Portugal, France to go all the way for me, but hopefully England. Last time, well, the only time we've ever won anything, we won it at Wembley, the finals at Wembley again this year, so fingers crossed. Right, before we go then, we need to choose a keyword for the ratings. Remember, we encourage you to leave a rating for the podcast, type the keyword in, and we will definitely read it out on the next episode. But Elliot, there is one rule and one rule only.
Your review must be LA Galaxy style. 5 stars only. We are going to choose somebody who's left a 5-star review to win a shirt courtesy of soccer90.com, our sponsors. Thank you very much to those guys. And your reviews this week to enter the competition must contain the phrase, "I now pronounce," and then you may write your review.
That's nice.
In honor of Henry Hewitt, who gets married on Friday. Send all of your congratulations and baskets of goodies to him. I want no part of it.
You know, we got a rating. I didn't read it out, right? You say the one rule and one rule only, but they did everything. They put in the keyword.
Mm-hmm.
They put a very nice message in the message bit. But then they only give us 3 stars for some reason. So
honesty is the best policy, yeah, I think.
So unfortunately,
bang average.
I'm not reading that one out. We need to end on the game with a changing name. I'll be honest with you, I'll be up front. Sometimes I don't know who it is at the start of the episode, and then at the end I think, oh, I know who it is. I really don't have a clue who it is.
No?
I didn't do well in Crisis Right, and I've not done well on this one, I'm afraid.
You need the break.
Yeah, I do need the break.
Okay, so Anderlecht, Le Mans, Osasuna, Swansea City 14 times, FC Dallas 61 appearances, and FC Cincinnati 28 appearances. They scored 19 goals for FC Dallas, and they're now at Memphis 901. They're Belgian.
I know.
This is someone who scored week in, week out when I first started watching MLS, when we were planning this podcast. Mm. We watched the games, and he was banging them in.
You'll tell me, and I'll kick myself, because I know, I can picture going from Swansea to FC Dallas, us starting watching it and being like, oh yeah, that's the player who played at Swansea. And left, Cincinnati.
Left winger.
No, can't think of his name.
Roland.
Go on.
Lamar.
Oh yeah.
It's not gone well for you today.
No, it's not. I do need a break. I've got too much going on in the head with this wedding. But I know he didn't exactly do that well for Cincinnati, but I did think, I was surprised that he's now not in MLS still. Well done if you got that right. Congratulations to you. It's not been good for me today, but hopefully in 2 weeks' time it will be when we're back. I will be a married man, and you would have hopefully seen England win in the Euros.
Yes, fingers crossed. I will be leaving your wedding early to go and watch the football. That is us done. Thank you very, very much for listening and watching. I'm Elliot Holman, and I'm just going to say bye. Henry, however, he says,
see ya.
Find more great shows or join the team at sport-social.co.uk. Sports Social Podcast Network.